If there is to be peace in the world, there must be peace in the nations. If there is to be peace in the nations, there must be peace in the cities. If there is to be peace in the cities, there must be peace between neighbors. If there is to be peace between neighbors, there must be peace in the home. If there is to be peace in the home, there must be peace in the heart.
Turn scarlet leaves, spin earth, tumble the shadows into dawn, the morning out of night. Spill stars across these skies and hide them with the suns. Teach me to turn my sullen sense towards marvel. Let green and red and darkened day concur with the returning life I am.
Good morning. My name is Natalie Houchins, and I have been going to this church since I was in the womb, and I have been a Unitarian since then. This service is all about finding things in unexpected places. I guess you knew that. But now, I will ask everyone to wipe away all of their preconceived notions about what they will learn or find out about themselves during the service, if anything. Let go all thoughts of, this youth service is lame and all I want to do is eat a bagel in House and Hall. Hurry up, teenagers, because before you embark on a journey, any journey, however big or small, youth service or not, you never know what you will find. You can't always get what you want, but if you try sometimes, you get what you need. Not only is this a very catchy tune, but it is also a line of wisdom. I mean, what else could we expect from the Rolling Stones? And yes, I do know who they are. You can't always get what you want. No matter how much we want something, or how much we think we must have something, or how hard we try to get it, sometimes the universe just won't let it happen. But if you try sometimes, if you try new things and expand your world, you get what you need, or didn't even know that you needed. Like this one time, I was, as most teenagers often do, digging through the couch looking for money. I was going to the movies that day, and I really needed a couple more dollars to buy some of that ridiculously expensive candy. And I was sure that I was going to find some money in that couch. I mean, everyone in my family and even a lot of my friends had lined their pockets with the coinage they had retrieved from that sofa. So I'm digging around, really getting in there, and suddenly I feel something cool and metallic. I dig a little deeper, and what do I find? My cell phone. I didn't even know that I had lost it. It's pretty close to being my most prized possession, and I had lost it. I was astounded. It was the last thing on my mind. I unfortunately never got that extra $4, and I couldn't afford the Reese's Pieces I was so greatly looking forward to. But I did get to call my parents and tell them this, and whining definitely brought me much more satisfaction than candy ever could. So this analogy is pretty simple. The world is like one big couch. Filthy, dank, littered with all sorts of random objects, and waiting for us to dig around in. Maybe we will find what we want. Maybe we will find what we haven't been looking for, but need more than we thought. Nevertheless, the choice is ours, whether or not to look in the first place. Thank you.
I'm Sierra Tothero, and I've been coming to this church since I was born. And I suppose I've been calling myself Unitarian since then. Yeah. Why is it that sometimes the most longed-for things are the most difficult to achieve? Is it a mere game of playing hard to get? Do we want things because they are so difficult to get, or is it that they are so difficult to receive because they are so pined for? One of the most longed-for things, though, is often the one that is left off a person's life to-do list. I remember in my eighth grade Spanish class, my teacher asking us if we could have one thing in the world, what would it be? We all struggled in choosing between boats or cars or an idea of satisfaction or love, and after each guess, my teacher would say that she had a better answer. Finally, she told us the apparent best answer, and it was happiness. Not only is happiness necessary, but apparently it is one of our unalienable rights. Well, the pursuit is, at least. So in reality, happiness isn't ever guaranteed. It never is. It is really unfortunate that it is not, because happiness is one of the very few things that would make someone's life 100% better. This is what we are forever given the task in the Declaration of Independence to pursue. But how can we get it? It can be so frustrating. You can try as hard as you possibly can to reach this happiness, this abstract thing that you can't lay your hands on, or you can't grab and claim yours, and still not obtain it. You can't fully control it. You're in this constant state of pursuit of something that one can barely even comprehend, and yet the pursuit continues. I've been thinking about happiness recently, what it is and how to find it, and I want to tell you a story about it. It won't sound like happiness at first, but in the end, I think it will make sense. My mom and dad loved backpacking. I went on a real backpacking trip with them when I was 10. We went to the Wemenooch Wilderness in Colorado, and it was really, really beautiful, but I just remember being a tad perplexed. We were going to spend 5 days hiking, just to end up in the exact same place that we started. It didn't make a lot of sense. I remember lying in my tent with a case of altitude sickness while it was raining, trying to get to sleep and failing, and I remember being mad. I had no idea why we were doing this. This was no necessary journey, no shortcut to some far-off land that would hold a mattress and some indoor plumbing. This was a choice. At some point, there was a decision made by my parental units to venture off into some bear-ridden wilderness for the simple reason of being there. For the first few days, I remembered this, and though I was feeling a little more accepting of my present situation since my stomach had ceased in its detonation, I still wasn't sold on the trip. Until about day 4, when we had made our way into this valley where we met a couple who had ridden llama back into the valley earlier. We found out about them, not by the blustering calls of the llamas, but when we had first entered the valley, blistered and tired, someone was playing a flute in the distance. We didn't find out the producer of the sound until we hiked around a bend, where we saw the couple, one fluting away, the other feeding their two llamas. Upon our passing, they immediately introduced themselves and then invited us, some tired, sore, unshowered strangers, to tea after we finished our dinner. They were some very happy campers. They had an energy about them that just radiated happiness. During tea, they showed us their llamas, talked about their lives, shared their nourishment, and treated us like we had known them much longer than just acknowledging each other's existence only 2 hours prior. Now, these people were enjoying the journey. They knew they weren't getting anywhere distance-wise. They were still going to end up where they started in the end, but it didn't matter. It didn't matter where they were going, as long as it was somewhere. So maybe we were never meant to reach the so-called destination of happiness. Perhaps during this life's journey, happiness is the ending result of loving the journey. It includes the sadness, the fear, the satisfaction, the contentment, the surprise, and the regrets. Maybe happiness is like white. White is all the colors, and if one color were to go missing, it wouldn't be pure white. Just like if one of our experiences we have had in life were to go missing, or an emotion was suppressed for a lifetime, it wouldn't be pure happiness. As we are in this constant pursuit of happiness, we are gaining things that at the end of our lifetime, when we reach the very end of this stage of existence, might just combine, and finally, we will achieve pure happiness. So the pursuit of happiness might not really be a pursuit, but a process. And only through this process will pure happiness be reached. So, perhaps, in order to achieve this happiness, all you really have to do is sit back, think, feel, and allow yourself to trust in the pursuit of happiness. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Josh Mays, and I've been going to this church for about 4 months, and I've been a Unitarian my whole life. As our lives change, we lose and discover things about ourselves. We change from what we were to what we are to what we could be. As you have noticed, the theme of our service is finding things in unexpected places. When rummaging through my closet, I found an old picture of me and my family from when I couldn't even remember what was happening. And in finding that picture, part of my life was given to me. All those memories of who I used to be and what I used to do in a flash went zooming through my head. From that one picture, a whole world opened up. From finding that one thing, in a way, I found lots. Sometimes we also find friendships that we thought we could never have without even trying. In my short 16 years, I have moved a total of 10 times. And every time, I seem to find these wonderful and amazing people without even looking for them. They seem to pop out of nowhere, and they seem to change my life. That, I think, is the greatest thing anyone could find, the love and the joy of friends. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Shane Rice, and I've been going to this particular church for around maybe a year now, but I've been a Unitarian for closer to 4 or 5. When I finally got around to writing this, I had been thinking on the topic, finding things in unusual places, for quite a while, and quite a few interesting ideas had flooded into my head over the past week. I thought of many possible things that fit this topic, and some of them worked well, and some of them didn't. But of all these things, there are a few that stood out to me the most. The first and most obvious of these is experience. You are, unless you live under a rock, experiencing things every day, and thus gaining experience. Well, actually, if you live under a rock, you're probably experiencing things too, like pain and boredom. It's not necessarily being found in an unusual place, but it's not like you can go to the movie store and pick out which experiences you want and skip the bad ones. If you want real value, you have to just sit and wait for a valuable experience to happen. And often, when valuable life-altering experiences do happen, it's not when or where you expect. The second of these things is actually finding material things in unexpected places. I'm a guitar player, and I'm also a Butterfingers, which leads to me dropping guitar picks a lot. But when I drop them and look down, they always have found their way to some seemingly impossible place, like underneath me or behind me. The third thing that I thought of that seemed at the time to have a lot of merit is the fact that so many inventions, like cheese, popsicles, frisbees, sandwiches, potato chips, Coca-Cola, Play-Doh, fireworks, slinkies, post-it notes, silly putty, microwave ovens, and even candy bars were invented completely by accident. Sure, there are a lot of inventions that took careful planning, but think about how different our lives would be if we couldn't enjoy a sandwich for lunch, or watch fireworks for the 4th of July, or remind a family member of something with those cute little yellow post-it notes. So, finding things in unexpected places is definitely good. So, next time you find something in an unexpected place, be it a cell phone or your car, be grateful you looked there.